So, very warm welcome, Dorin. It's great to have you here in Forchheim. To introduce you quickly, Dorin Komanichu, the head of all our AI activities, head of, let's say, the pre-development group for digitalization in Princeton. So it's great to have you here. Looking forward to a discussion around digitalization of radiology and healthcare based on artificial intelligence and what role it plays in healthcare. But you know, looking at you, I think back when we met first time, right?
I think this is quite some years. 10 years ago, right?
10 years around, right? That's what I would have said, yeah. What was it about? I guess I was in MR, I think I recall, and I was in R&D, right?
Yeah. So Christoph, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to this podcast. It's so great to be here and so wonderful to discuss the topic of AI. Indeed, it was 10 years ago when we met, and I recall that at that time we were pursuing some machine learning methods. But I didn't dare to raise the topic. I believe at that time it was too exotic and too different compared to what we've been doing 10 years ago. And to me, it's fascinating how the world has changed since 10 years ago to now, when each and every customer of ours is asking, what do you do in artificial intelligence?
You're saying I should have listened a little bit more to you, and you know, I remember we developed workflow engines for MR modalities. Mm-hmm. I think a very exciting time actually, and yeah, thinking back now, artificial intelligence, you know, could have helped us even, right, if it was already so far.
That's true. And at the same time, everything it's done at the right time, because the evolution of artificial intelligence, the potential success of today and in the near future is ultimately coming from the convergence of a number of items, the existence of large curated databases, the increasing computational power, the advancement in the methods, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very exciting, yeah. And now we are in the midst of it, right? It's exponential growth, let's say, yeah, in this field, yeah. What brought you to AI? What made you, let's say, sniffing this trend so early?
It's actually very interesting. So my first job with Siemens was in automotive. Mm-hmm. I recall working for Siemens VDO. And in automotive, actually Siemens has been a pioneer by testing late departure warning and passing vehicle detection. It was 15 plus years ago. I recall driving with the German manufacturers on an Autobahn, Munich, Nuremberg, 200 kilometers,
right?
200 kilometers an hour, testing late departure warning, passing vehicle detection. But you know, at that time, we've been asking the question, how conservative industry like automotive, how such industry would adapt these methods into products. Mm-hmm. And here we go, 15 years after, each and every car that you buy has such features implemented.
It's true, even my car, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Right.
A lot of assistance, right, in the car, but also the vision of a self-driving car where you are no longer the driver and even no longer in charge of what is happening. How do you compare this to our AI activities in radiology and healthcare? And does it mean, you know, it's comparable? There won't be doctors anymore in the futures and the hospitals are full of robots and machines?
So 2 points. Number one is that we have to learn how fast automotive moved from some testing into some implementation across the board by integrating in the workflow of the driver and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's number one. At the same time, we learn to drive in a couple of hours, some in a couple of days, but to become a doctor, you need a couple of years.
I can confirm.
Exactly. That's and that is the difference in complexity. Mm. human body is so complex in interpreting information about the human body, we have to deal with a high complexity. Mm-hmm. It's much, much more complex. Mm-hmm. Having said that, still there is an evolution towards more and more automation in interpreting data, towards more and more intelligent machines, scanners that are processing properly the patient data, and towards decision support.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what I like is very much, I think you did this comparison recently, right, to the different maturity levels of autonomous driving versus the different levels where we want to implement artificial intelligence, from the scanners into quality assurance, reporting, you know, up to the digital twin. Can you shortly explain this a little bit better to us?
Yes. So, indeed, there are a couple of levels of automation. Now, it's what is most important and what is the main promise of AI is quality. What we call in more technical terms, high AUC, area under the curve. Mm-hmm. You know, area under the curve refers to a graph that looks at true positives versus false positives. When area under the curve is close to one, that means that the software is almost perfect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the promise of AI. It's the equivalent of self-driving cars. Do not make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is when we'll reach that level of quality in healthcare, a lot of things would change.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting, you know, make a comparison, you know, cross the borders into aviation. You know that I'm very excited about aviation, yeah, where you learn from companies like Airbus that planes could already fly without pilots, but there is a certain reluctance to get on a plane without pilots. Yeah? Is it a similar thing in healthcare where you have patients, typically sick patients, yeah, who also want still a human being, treating them, talking to them, and so on. I mean, there is a ethical component to everything, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is where, as a company, we have to think and do much more in introducing artificial intelligence to our customers, because ultimately we have to do what is right for the patients. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But still, when you think of benefits of, say, scanners raising flags in the case of an acute situation to prioritize reading, or the potential of artificial intelligence, say, to reduce the number of prostate biopsies by helping to properly interpret multiparametric MR data, there are so many benefits that ultimately would increase the quality of healthcare while reducing the cost. Mm-hmm. One of the luminaries at a recent conference in Boston mentioned this, that AI, artificial intelligence, is perhaps one of the few technologies, not the only technology, that has the promise to increase the quality, reduce the cost, while expanding the reach of healthcare to many, many millions who need.
Yeah, it makes very much sense. Yeah. And it's very much along the line of our vision anyways, right? Reduce cost in the healthcare systems and increasing quality. Yeah. And I mean, thinking back when I used to work as a medical doctor in surgery, right? I think we all remember our mistakes, right? And having help and support reducing the mistakes is only good for the patient, but it's also good for the healthcare systems, right? And the cost, yeah. I remember there's a number, nearly $600 billion waste generated in the healthcare system. This is very impressive, right? Based on, you know, re-examinations and, you know, the wrong treatment and variety of topics, where I believe it's a very exciting technology development helping to reduce this significant amount of waste in the system, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you are right, it's increasing productivity and hence reducing cost, but it's also increasing the diagnostic mm-hmm. and therapeutic quality. Yeah. Just to give you my view quickly, yeah, it's I'm traveling a lot around the globe, so meeting a lot of customers, you know, mid-sized customers, academic centers, and so on. I think when I talk to radiology, there is a variety of behaviors currently. Yeah? One is the European/German behavior, where we have more concerns that shops, you know, would be reduced based on artificial intelligence. You know, you can sometimes even hear, you know, is radiology going to vanish in 10 years or whatever years, yeah? Versus going to the US, where you have, let's say, more excitement. And the Americans, they see rather, you know, opportunities in this entire development. And then you go to Asia, namely China. I mean, these guys, they are crazy about digitalization, and the government is supporting it, and they see only opportunities. They they don't question anything around AI. I would say, yeah, they are really simply keen on making their entire life digital. Yeah. Overall, I would summarize, radiology is pretty excited about it. Yeah. But the question is, how is radiology developing the next 10 years? Yeah. Do you have an idea, based on your technology development, what it would lead into in a radiology department of a hospital? How is it going to look like in the next, let's say, decade?
First of all, I believe that artificial intelligence is now a deep phenomenon. There is so much development out there. There is so much expectation. But at the same time, as I mentioned, a couple of things are converging. More and more databases, curated databases, more and more extraordinary computational power. For example, our supercomputer Sherlock that we have in Healthineers has 20 petaflop. Now, one petaflop is 1 million of billions of operation per second. It's an immense computational power. And in addition, all the sophisticated neural networks with millions of parameters. So now this has implied a very important jump in performance. So now, as we mentioned, performance means more automation, means less errors. And therefore, of course, it's more business for us, more business for the providers, and positive great impact on the patients. Now, having said that, there is no such thing as a revolution. It's more like an evolution, right? The clinicians are becoming, and now I'm coming to the core of your question, we see clinicians are becoming more and more educated in this field, embracing the field. We see the new clinicians working on artificial intelligence. For example, in our team in Princeton, we have positions of AI fellows, clinicians who can spend half a year, 1 year with us working on multiparametric MR for the brain, for the prostate. We have neuroradiologists, we have radiologists specialized in prostate reading, and so on and so forth.
Very exciting.
So the fields are coming close together. We know more and more about medicine, and clinicians know more and more about artificial intelligence.
I mean, that's a good point, yeah, because the question is, how are the radiology societies are driving the future of radiology? And I see ourselves, Siemens Healthineers, as a helper in the transformation to strengthen radiology. However, we need the societies, and they have an important saying. If radiology is going to do it right, and assume for a second clinical decision support would also kick in based on AI and would get stronger and stronger, I believe radiology has a huge opportunity to establish itself as a data integrator, data manager.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also a guide through all the data. Yeah, because it's a huge data amount, and it needs data analysis. And then you need data abstraction to derive decisions from it. But I believe radiology has a great opportunity to get closer to the clinicians and get into a navigator role throughout the clinical process, driving the right decisions at the right point in time. So that's a very exciting thing, at least how I see it. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. And the interpretation of integrated data needs sophisticated tools. Because we as humans, where we can use data, we can use simple data to make decisions. However, we rely on analytic tools like artificial intelligence to help decision making based on integrated complex data, looking at imaging, looking at pathology, looking at lab information, going further to molecular information, and so on and so forth. That it's a wealth of data that needs to be properly interpreted.
But just to put this into the right context, when I worked in surgery, I can tell you it was really a very manual process. I had my stethoscope and I had, you know, a ruler or something like this, and something to write. And if I wanted to know something about pathology, I had to go to pathology and they were seeking for, you know, the data and so on. And worst case, they sent it a day later or so. So it was a very slow and very manual process. And what you are saying is pointing on to the trend of integrated diagnostics, right? Where you really use all this this technology for integrating gene data, digital pathology data, right? Image data, in vitro data. And I mean, this is an exciting development around our pathway companion, right? So I think, again, it's a huge opportunity, not only for radiology, but also for the quality in the healthcare systems.
Right. And going to that direction, I would like to mention some recent work that we did in collaboration with Cleveland Clinic, where we asked the question, can we do more to stratify patients for radiation therapy for lung cancer? So Cleveland Clinic had a very large curated database of outcome. And based on that database, we applied our deep profiler, a specialized network to make prediction. And using the deep profiler, we've been able, together with the physicians at the Cleveland Clinic, to reduce 45% the failure rate of radiation therapy and to properly select the dose for each patient.
Because of the deep profiler predicting the therapeutic reaction?
Exactly, exactly. Learning from the outcomes and looking at the patient data, looking at the CT, looking at the profile of the tumor, looking at the outcome, and using such data to predict the optimal level of radiation and which patient would benefit or not.
So this is all, let's say, a little bit under the roof of precision medicine.
Exactly.
Where we apply companion diagnostics, so to say, right? That we use the data to really stratify the patients and to apply therapeutic approaches for every individual.
Right. And if our listeners would like to see more details, actually, our team published in Lancet Digital Health the results of this important study. But I would really go into thinking about the advancements in the scanners, right? Today, actually, we have great products like the 3D camera that functions based on AI. And at the recent Somato meeting, actually, in Toronto, there was a group from NYU of clinicians who presented their recent study based on more than 600 patients, demonstrated that they can reduce the radiation dose by more than 25% as a mean due to the proper positioning of the patient.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Yeah, and this, of course, helping the patients, and they are typically very sick. Yeah, so it's a big deal for them, no doubt about it. Yeah. So we talked about 10 years time frame. You know, we talked how this is gonna evolve. Let's say radiology, how this is gonna transform. I mean, as you described it, in a very fantastic presentation, what we can do with all the data, achieving or establishing the digital twin, right? One could say it's a buzzword, and nobody really understands what it means. I think you understand very well where we are heading to. Bringing this all into a digital twin, can you shortly explain to us what you mean by a digital twin and what time frame do you foresee? I mean, I know, of course, as you said at the beginning, right? The human being is extremely complex when you go from macroscopy into microscopy, histology, physiology, right? All these processes, mirroring them is really a challenge. So it takes time. How do you see this evolving? And what is it good for? Mm-hmm.
I would say that if you think digital twin, exactly this specific example on the radiation therapy, it's about doing the right thing for each patient. Now, in digital twin, we do a bit more. We not only look at the statistical view of data, mm-hmm. but also at the mechanistic view, mm-hmm. how things are working.
I see.
And because we have complex models personalized for the human body, we are able to run simulations of various therapies and help the clinician selecting what is the best therapy for this patient at this moment mm-hmm. of time. Mm-hmm. Right. And to me, this is fascinating, right? And if you
it
think, if you go beyond now the disease care, you can see applications in healthcare. When we imagine sometimes in the future, data being integrated from birth into a lifelong personalized model that can help us living healthier and ultimately living happier, mm-hmm. that can mm-hmm. advise you at each moment how you should live a healthier life. Mm-hmm. And this is fascinating,
absolutely.
Right?
As a
person, I would love to have my digital twin mm-hmm. to advise me in an unbiased way mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. what is the best for me.
True. And where do we stand currently? What is your estimate in terms of the time frame?
I believe that we're making quite a bit of progress. So what is very interesting is to think the digital twin beyond the avatar, but to think it more in terms of helper for decision making. So again, it goes back to the question, how do we make decisions? How do we implement software that helps making decisions? How do we pass regulatory for that software? Mm-hmm. Do we go cath lab or not? Is there a decision for radiation therapy? Or what is the risk for a cardiovascular event? And so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And for us, the practical question is how do we work with FDA? How do we understand the new requirements for such software for helping decision making?
In my point of view, that's a big, big topic. Yeah, because the regulatory bodies also need to learn what this is all about.
Absolutely.
And I think a traditional 510K is no longer applicable.
Absolutely.
And they might see it as a black box. Mm-hmm. You give data in and data come out. Mm-hmm. The question is what is happening in between and how valid are the data. Yeah. So I think that's something where I see that they ramp up their knowledge as well and try to establish processes in order to release such products in the future.
And to me, this is a fascinating road ahead for our company.
True.
This is ultimately digitalization, right? Mm-hmm. Where we are gradually transforming and working, say, regulatory to understand how can we build together these tools of the future for decision-making, mm-hmm. which would ultimately improve healthcare, which ultimately would improve disease care and selecting the best treatment for each patient.
Where do we stand as a company? What is your take on our position in the market? And then I tell you what my view is on it.
So to me at Healthineers, we have a pretty strong beginning. The way I see our company is we are leaders in sensing the human body. If you look at our portfolio, there is no company in the world that has richer and more comprehensive portfolio than us. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. moving forward, we have to advance from providing raw data to our customers to provide information and knowledge, mm-hmm. because that's what they are looking for. Mm-hmm. How do they make the best decisions? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So while we have quite a number of applications of AI powered mm-hmm. mm-hmm. applications in the market, we have to do much more mm-hmm. into going into the space where our applications, our software are integral part of decision making and in the space where clinicians are relying more and more on our software mm-hmm. to make decisions, sure. not only yeah. on our scanners.
Mm-hmm. I share your view, yeah, and of course I'm very excited about our engineering capabilities and the IP you and the team built up throughout the last years. I think it brought us really into the pole position. What I would add, and it's a little bit along your line, is really we need to keep the speed because we have done great things Absolutely. With the Red Companion, with the Pathway Companion. I think we are really on a very exciting journey now, but we need to speed up in order to remain in the pole position in this field. Yeah, Dorin, I could talk to you for much, much longer about this very exciting topic, and it's super cool to listen to you. Yeah, it's amazing what you have built up, you and the team. You know, have built up throughout the last decade. Yeah, I'm looking forward working with you on this journey. Yeah, and yeah, let's meet again later and let's talk then where we are. Yeah, but it was a great pleasure and thank you
thank
for
you
being
so
here.
Much.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you so much, Christoph. Thank you. You know, it's very motivating to work in this field. You know, when you think that our company is processing data from more than 240,000 patients per hour.
That's incredible.
We have
it's
a, incredible. In, and to me, this is a wonderful motivation. And when you think that through these new methods, our company will be able to deliver more value to our customers and to their patients, this is really is very, very inspiring. Thank you so much for inviting me.
AI Pathway Companion and Digital Twin are under development and not commercially available. Its future availability cannot be ensured.